Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. So much havoc out of one small insect, and that's no bite to ignore. Discovery Channel will demonstrate why July 6th all over the world with its original special, Mosquito. Director Sue Reinhardt joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. It's day 2 of Series Fest, the 3rd annual television festival from Denver, Colorado. We'll head there live next half hour with Managing Director Brian Brooks and Business Development Director Justin Klosky. Also ahead, News Note Quickies and your second crack at our Monty Python Classic Trivia Question of the Week. Hello everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Block Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow we televise. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and whenever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Thank you all for joining us on this special Wednesday edition of the program All About Television. 75 great degrees here in the Big Apple, and we invite you to be part of the program in the next hour. Some wonderful guests coming your way here in New York and in Denver, Colorado. And all you have to do to be involved is get involved by giving us a ring using this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio. We've also got our chat room in business. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's SimonApple04 by name. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Just click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people we'll be live with you. The director of Mosquito, Sue Reinhardt, joins me here in New York after these news notes. This time, a bunch of quickies. CBS will premiere On Assignment, a four-week experimental news magazine, July 31st, featuring anchor people and reporters from digital service, CBS, and available on most smart TV sets and smart devices. Amazon and ITV will team up for Vanity Fair, a new 7-part adaptation of the classic William Thackeray novel. Olivia Cooke will star. Finally, in Paris, the proposed drama mixing time travel with the ballet world now has a U.S. carrier, Hulu. Production of this English-language series gets underway in Paris later this summer. Actor David Mark Alan Greer, no stranger to game show participation, is set to host Snap Decision, which will start a unique simulcast August 7th on GSN and Sinclair-owned television stations around the country. Sinclair is the nation's largest owner of TV stations. Neo and Naya Romero will headline Step Up High Water. It's YouTube Red series adaptation of the popular Step Up dance films. Production of 10 episodes is happening right now in Atlanta. And Newsmax Television is ready to remote 7 hours of its format tomorrow to Troopathon 10. It's a fundraising special for care packages distributed among soldiers overseas. And again, that's tomorrow on Newsmax Television, available on cable, satellite, smart TV sets, and smart devices. And that's news notes for today. Now joining me here in New York, the director of Discovery Channel's worldwide special premiering July 6th, Mosquito, Sue Reinhardt. Sue, thanks for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Sue, what makes this special so important for you that Discovery is going to take the rare step of offering it worldwide?
Well, I think that's amazing because this is a worldwide problem. It's something that affects everybody on the planet. So it makes total sense that it's a global release.
In fact, a lot of people are going to be shocked to get the suggestion that what sometimes comes up on their skin as a bite is being done by what is being suggested here as an angel of death, which I understand kills in some way or shape or form 750,000 people a year, the majority of them children.
Yes, mosquitoes are responsible for spreading disease. So the numbers are about 750,000 are killed, but hundreds of millions are affected. So there are people who don't necessarily die, but their lives are changed in a way that they'll never be the same again. So it has devastating impacts for millions of people.
Tell us some of the ways that this impact happens, because it's not just one disease that these mosquitoes carry. There's a bunch.
Absolutely. We focused on a few in the film, but there's, first of all, there's several thousand different types of mosquitoes. Not all of them spread disease, only a few do. So many mosquitoes are quite innocent, quite harmless. Many spread disease, and then also the diseases they carry, some are ancient, some are new, they're emerging all the time, they're changing all the time. So there's a long list. There's a long list of challenges.
Mm-hmm. What was the challenge for you in directing this, in putting this special together?
Well, I think we traveled a lot filming, and we filmed in some, we filmed, for example, in Recife, Brazil, right in the height of the Zika epidemic when, you know, people still didn't know what exactly it was. They didn't have a name for everything. They were figuring it all out. It was all in the moment. So that was very, very challenging. You know, we also filmed in New York City. We also filmed in Long Island. We filmed in Washington, D.C. So these things aren't just happening in faraway places. There's issues and concerns for certainly people in North America as well, and in cities and everywhere we live now.
So a lot of people have come over the last year to hear about the Zika virus and how mosquitoes have played a big role in transmitting that virus to people all over the place. But what are some mm-hmm. of the other diseases or conditions that mosquitoes are related to or have a direct impact to cause?
Well, there's many different diseases. Like, for example, there's West Nile, which is that first came to North America in the 90s, and it's still around. There's a disease called chikungunya. There's another one called dengue fever. These are not necessarily, they won't kill you, but they can, they're diseases that are so horrific, they can have lifelong effects.
People like yourself who direct programs that have a nature or natural history bent to them, of course, face a situation you can't direct what Mother and Father Nature's creatures do. They do what they do, and you got to make sure your cameras are there. So how are you able to capture what you could capture about these mosquitoes in their habitat? How are you able to put it on camera?
Okay, well, I'm going to confess, there's a bit of Hollywood involved in that, because the mosquito photography that we have is so macro. It's such a miniature world. It's so detailed. We did that in a special, we actually did it in conjunction with a university in Canada where they had to actually rear the mosquitoes for us. They bred the mosquitoes for us, thousands of them, of these different species. Not only that, I wanted to film them at different stages in their life cycle. So laying an egg, emerging from a, you know, being born, first flight, all these different life cycle stages. So we had to do all that in a kind of a studio environment with very, very specialized tools for macro photography, and we shot in high speed as well, which is super slow motion as well. So,
we're speaking with director Sue Reinhard and her project for Discovery Channel. Mosquito is being presented on Discovery Channel here in the U.S. and around the world all the same day, July 6th. And here in the United States, that program is running on Thursday night, July 6th at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Sue joins me here in New York this half hour on the special Wednesday edition of Tomorrow We Televise, the program all about television. Simon Applebaum, also with you from the Big Apple. Delighted you're spending some of your midweek with us and Sue. And if you have a question or comment for her, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We're going to wrap up June in our regular Friday time period with a nightly edition of the program. And coming your way, we will have the award-winning documentary producer-director Alexander Pelosi with us with one of the more unique specials that's coming on Independence Night on HBO. It's called The Words That Built America, and it showcases such documents as the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, in a very unusual way, as read by a wide variety of American society. Alexander Pelosi, the producer-director of HBO's The Words That Built America, will be our lead guest. Then we will check out a brand new series on Complex Networks, available on smart TV sets and devices. You might call it a mix between the Wonder Years and the world of sports. It's called Play by Play, and we'll speak with its creator and executive producer, Kevin Jacobowski. And finally, we will have the three authors of Monty Python FAQ, the latest in the FAQ book series dealing with Monty Python's Flying Circus. Chris Farsani, Brian Cove, and Jeff Matz will be with us. And stay tuned later in the hour, because we'll have our classic trivia question of the week, where you can win a copy of this book all your own. Again, the writers of Monty Python FAQ joining our other guests Friday, 3 days Eastern, November 7th, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What made you decide, Sue, that this special was worth getting involved with you as a director?
Well, the concept for Mosquito actually came from two wonderful producers in Toronto at a small company called Yap Films, and it's Elizabeth Trojan and Elliot Halpern. So they met up with Discovery, and Discovery was interested, and then they needed to find a director. And that's where I fit in, I think, quite perfectly. Like, I had just finished another project, I was very, very interested in Mosquito. I think it's a fascinating thing to explore, so I just jumped right in.
And before then, what was the Sue Reinhardt story? What was your work in directing or in producing television shows or other things?
I just directed a film called The Messenger, which is an environmental documentary film. It features birds. Birds have always had something to tell us. And really, it's a canary in the coal mine kind of story, because what they're telling us now is that the state of the earth, you know, our earthly home, is not healthy anymore. It's no longer able to support their life. So it's a bit of a warning cry, because if life can't support a bird, it certainly won't be able to support humans. So I just finished that project, and it also was a global story. Filmed all over the world and affects everybody on the planet. So Mosquito was another a perfect fit.
Mm-hmm. So once you have the project, how do you sort of plot along? What do you do? Do you film the insects first? Do you go to the experts first? Do you decide, like, what makes you decide, okay, we're going to go to New York first or go this elsewhere in the world first? I mean, give us more of a game plan in terms of putting the special together.
Certainly. I mean, you work from a treatment, which is the documentary version of a script, which is being revised all the time. There's a lot of research that goes into it to find who the best people are. We looked for a lot of scientists and people on the ground. So we had a combination of experts, experts who are good characters and able to communicate, people who are actually affected by the disease. So that was in different countries and different places. So people on the ground and people working to combat the problem too, the frontline workers. So we had a whole kind of range of characters. Then the filming was kind of divided up geographically. So, you know, we would film continent by continent, more or less.
When you talked or your staff talked with people who were impacted by the disease, who had loved ones get sick or die from it, what was the state of mind in terms of being willing to talk about the situation?
That's a very good question. This is the thing with the documentary film. You, in a very short time, you enter someone's life in a very intimate way. You're very close to their challenges and their problems and their kind of emotional life. Basically, there's a certain trust that you find, and people kind of let you into their lives and into their stories. And for example, we filmed with a young woman who is only 18 years old, and she has an 18-year-old woman in Brazil, and she had just had a baby with microcephaly. So she was struggling to cope with that, and I think she really wanted to share her story. She wanted people to understand what she was going through and to see her world a little bit. You know, and alternately, we shot with a woman here in New York who got West Nile from a bite in Staten Island, and she also kind of wanted to share her journey. So I think it's you know, you respectfully enter their world, and they want someone to bear witness to their story as well.
What is their world? Is it a world of disbelief that a small insect could cause so much harm or so much damage? Is it a world of embarrassment that, you know, I could never think this happened to me, and just to relive it or just to share about this is deeply personal and pain, because of somebody out there who may see me talk about this is going to ridicule me, like, oh, you know, this can't happen. This is, you know, there's no way that a small little can cost so much.
Well, I think everybody we spoke to was quite shocked that it happened to them. You know, we often think we're a bit, impervious to everything, right? But, and also that, you know, that mosquitoes have been around. You know, people say that, you know, we live with mosquitoes. They're around. I had no idea this could happen to me. So there's that element of the randomness, the kind of why me kind of phenomenal. But I think also people, you know, they've accepted the situation and they're very brave. You know, once it's happened, you just have to live and you have to go forward in the most constructive way that you can, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, when you talk to the experts, the people who have been in the insect world, the scientists, the researchers, was it difficult to find a consensus about not only the impact these creatures have, but also what do you do about them?
Well, yes, because there won't be a consensus because there's so many different types of mosquitoes, there's so many different types of geographies, there's so many different climates, there's so many different countries. So this is a very, very, very challenging thing because, one, when you have a global problem, you need a kind of collective action, you need a global solution. But at the same time, each situation is specific and unique. So there's similarities, there's consensus among some things that relate in different places, but there's no one, you know, there's no one smoking gun. There's no one reason why this happens, right? So it's a complex problem, and it demands a complex solution, really.
If there's no one smoking gun, Sue, is there one smoldering solution, some solution out there that, if it is not a total situation fixer or situation resolver, at least can go a long way in reducing the tragedy out there?
Well, there's actually quite a few things that you can do to help. I mean, Discovery has a petition at CARE2. So if you go to the discovery.com/mosquito, you'll see the petition. And if people can sign that, that'll go a long way. And what that does is it's help raise awareness, and it helps raise awareness for global public health and to bring the issue to the forefront. It's something that needs to be considered. So that's really helpful. If you live somewhere where you have mosquitoes in your neighborhood, you can certainly, they breed in very, 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 well, certainly Aedes aegypti breeds in very, very small amounts of water. So you can reduce their habitat by just dumping outstanding water around your home, like, for example, your dog bowl, your kiddie pool, the water under a potted plant. You can take care of that. Climate change is also a huge driver. I mean, humans, mosquitoes, we blame the mosquito, but we actually have to look at the human activities that are behind the spread and the worsening of the problem, and climate change is a huge problem. So if you can reduce your carbon footprint, that's certainly going to help. That's going to go a long, long way to helping solve the problem, too.
Mm-hmm. Are companies like Orkin or Terminix or local mom-and-pop companies who are in the business of going to buildings or apartments or houses to deal with issues of bugs, are they part of the problem or part of the solution?
They'll be part of the solution. I mean, there's no one way to solve the problem, and there will always be a toolkit required to address this situation. I mean, the problem with extermination, though, that there is a challenge with chemistry and pesticides because mosquitoes, because their life cycles are so quick. They have an entire life cycle in under a couple weeks, whereas we have some people live to be 100 years old. So how can you compete with an organism that changes its life cycle every couple of weeks? So they adapt very, very, very quickly to any chemistry that we put in the environment. So sometimes even before a company's got, you know, a chemical developed and distributed, the mosquitoes have already developed resistance to it.
Mm-hmm. Incidentally, here in New York, there's a very popular commercial for a company called Bell & Bono Services that has a dog for bed bugs named Roscoe. And you may have seen it, too, where there are people around New York City who say, "Where's Roscoe? Where's Roscoe? Don't you find Roscoe?" And the guy says, "It's working." And then you see Roscoe, the dog doing the bed bug stuff, and they're using this special, like, spray to do it. So crazy situation around here. So maybe Roscoe's got some more work to do, and he'll certainly enjoy it. Anyway, the poll we're talking about is Mosquito. It's a Discovery Channel special. It premieres July 6th here in the United States and all over the world. Here in the U.S., it will be 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Incidentally, the program will also be presented in Spanish on Discovery and Espanol, both here in the U.S. and also on Spanish language channels around the world. We're speaking with Sue Reinhardt. She is the director of this special, and she's with us live here in New York this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Applebaum with you live as well from the Big Apple. Happy you're aboard this midweek. If you have a question or comment, don't be shy. Get the answer. Just ring the number, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We're kicking off July next Monday on Tomorrow We Tell Live, and my first guest will be the executive producer of a major live special coming to National Geographic next weekend. It is Earth Live. It was originally announced last year. It's a two-hour special hosted by Jane Lynch of Glee and Hollywood Game Night, and Phil Kogan, the host of The Amazing Race. And it promises to show you Mother and Father Nature like you've never seen it live all over the world. That's Earth Live, and Al Berman, the executive producer of the program, will be my lead guest next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise as we count down to our 10th anniversary, first Monday of August. Sue, what do you think of how Discovery has showcased this special? I understand, for example, that they've already showcased it at a Doc Film Festival earlier this month. What's been the reaction to that and other things that Discovery has done to promote this?
Well, we did our premiere at the AFI, the American Film Institute, AFI Docs Festival in Washington just 2 weeks ago, and we had an amazing response. And from all kinds of people, from people who knew about the issue and want to know more, and for people who had no idea. So that was fantastic. So, and Discovery's also, they've got a great website up and going. And also during the premiere, there'll be many social media events. There's going to be some Twitter, live Twitter that you'll be able to follow and interact. And there's behind-the-scenes videos going to be released. So there's quite a bit at discovery.com/mosquito.
In the course of putting this together, Sue, did you have a chance to talk to whoever is the National Health Agency that's dealing with this issue, Department of Health or Human Services, or whatever the government agency is here in the U.S. that really has the accountability for dealing with this?
We did interview two fellows from the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, who were both amazing. And it's a multifaceted issue. There's no one place that kind of has charge. They basically will track and monitor and determine policy, allocate resources for when there's an epidemic. But mostly, I mean, I think the main job is prevention, and that requires a lot of vigilance and a lot of science and a lot of research.
Mm-hmm. And finally, Sue, two things. One, the petition that Discovery is circulating, what does that do when you sign it?
First of all, it raises awareness, and it is to bring the people who need to be making policy and need to be making decisions to make sure there's adequate resources and that there's adequate attention paid to the issue. Because it's not the kind of thing you want to wait until you're sick. You want to prevent it. You want to stop it before it starts. So there's a lot of policy involved, and I think that visit the website, and it explains all.
Mm-hmm. And where will it be circulated to? Will it be to members of Congress or the Centers for Disease Control or other agencies? Both here in the U.S. and around the world, where would it go?
I think all of the above.
And Sue, where do you want to take your career in television? Do you want to stay doing documentaries, specials like this, or do you want to move into other areas with your TV work?
I really like documentaries. I think it's a really interesting time for documentary. I'm also very interested in the environment. I think we're living in a really precarious era. An era that history will look back upon, and it's a very interesting time, and I think it's a wonderful time to be making documentaries because they really are telling the stories of our lives right now.
And a wonderful time to impact the future as well when it comes to situations like what you can see this coming Thursday, July 6th, with Mosquito. Again, this is a special Discovery Channel. We'll present on all of its networks in the United States and around the world on the very same day, July 6th. In the United States, it will be Thursday, July 6th at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Check your local listings for where Discovery Channel plays in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program and also to find that petition and other valuable information about the subject of mosquitoes, www.discovery.com. That's www.discovery.com. And again, the special will also present in Spanish on Discovery and Espanol, also available on cable and satellite across the country and around the world. So right now, I'm the director of Mosquito. Thank you again for joining us. Thanks for bringing this subject to life. Hopefully, not only will the special be well-received and well-looked at, but also will lead to a lot more people getting involved in trying to reduce the number of deaths every year from this. And maybe we can find some solutions that are lasting to this issue. And I really appreciate you coming on the program.
Yeah, well, thank you for your interest. That's fantastic.
You're welcome. And all the best to your future television efforts as well. Take care.
Okay, all right. Take care.
Sue Reinhardt, director of Mosquito, coming July 6th on Discovery Channel here in the United States and around the world, joining me here in New York. More from Robert Sellerheist coming up after some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. If you liked American Gods, which just wrapped up its first season on Starz, coming back for a second season next year, you may be a fan of the wonderful work of one of the best storytellers around, and that's Neil Gaiman. Well, Neil has a wonderful book out called North Anthology, and you can get it sound-wise with a subscription to Audible.com. All you have to do for a 30-day trial and to get that book or something else you like is use this URL, audibletrial.com/televised. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio information and entertainment with over 180,000 titles to choose from. You can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio. Remember, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook, like North Anthology, and a one-month trial of the service. And remember, the customer service you get from Audible.com, because of Amazon.com, is outstanding. So hear for yourself and see if Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. It's audibletrial.com/televised. audibletrial.com/televised. Audible.com, an Amazon company. And now it's time for your second chance at this week's classic trivia question, and our prize this week is Monty Python FAQ, the latest in the Applause Bulletin's FAQ line of all things television, this time dealing with Monty Python's Flying Circus. And its authors, Chris Brooks, Ozzie, Brian Cogan, and Jeff Nassie, will all be with us Friday on our next edition of the show. Here is the question, in case you missed it on Monday. Name the theme song of Monty Python's Flying Circus. Name the theme song of Monty Python Flying the Circus. You know, da 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 da, and so forth. Anyway, that we want to know, and what's the exact title? The theme song of Monty Python Flying Circus. If you're first with the correct answer, you will win Monty Python FAQ. So how do you play? Email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget, when you send in your reply, make sure you have your name and your full mailing address. So if you are first with the correct answer by our Friday show, you win. Again, the question we're talking about, name the theme song of Monty Python's Flying Circus. You reply with SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. And if you just missed the question, we'll post it again tomorrow on Facebook and on my Twitter handle at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, in order to win, get in the game. It's so easy, and you never know, it might be you. And once again, the authors of Monty Python FAQ, published by Applause Books and Cinema, Chris Barsanti, Brian Toby, Jeff Massey, will all be with me Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. So get in and win, and all the very best. You are listening to Tomorrow We Televise. We are the program all about the Tube, special midweek edition. We're only with you Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And we're counting down to our 10th anniversary episode, first Monday of August. Remember, you can be involved in our programs very simply. Just give us a ring. If you have a question or comment for our guests, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You will find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Remember, we love hearing from you. What do you think about the world of television? What's your thoughts about Sue Reinhardt and her documentary that she directed, Mosquito, for Discovery Channel? We love to hear. So just email me. Use that same email you used for the class trivia question. That's the email that you reach me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. You can find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter. And remember, you can catch recent episodes of our show anytime just by going to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And check out the podcast version of the program. It's also available 24/7 in two ways, iTunes.com, and if you have Apple TV, it's the Apple TV iTunes podcast app. With the app, you can hear our program and other Blog Talk Radio shows anytime you like. And with iTunes, you can download to your smartphone or tablet, take us on the go, share it with others, and have other people feel the love of Tomorrow Be Televised. So remember, blogtalkradio.com/televised, iTunes, and Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. That's where you can hear replays of our show 24/7. If you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you or order it online. We come back. Off to Denver we go for day two of Series Fest, and we'll be joined by two of the key organizers, Managing Director Brian Brooks, Business Development Director Justin Klatsky. They will both join us after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, more than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for the Sage Champagne Show. Join Sage, her guests, and her format today, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best VTR available 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back for the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised, the program all about the tube. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York in the special midweek edition. Normally we're on Mondays and Fridays at this hour. Happy to have you along this Wednesday. 75 beautiful degrees here in New York. Sky bright, few clouds out there, but absolutely gorgeous. By the way, I'm going to give a shout-out to everybody who went to Midnight Swing at Lincoln Center last night. We had a blast with the Carol Basie Orchestra. They were absolutely sensational. A lot of great dancers out there. And Midnight Swing continues at Lincoln Center through the end of this week, and then Tuesday through Saturday the next 2 weeks. If you're in town, check it out. It's the best block party in America. A lot of great dancing. Even if you don't go on the dance floor, you can get around the dance floor for free, and it's one of the great bargains in New York City or anywhere. All right, we have some guests coming your way this half hour. We invite you to be part of the program. All it takes is a phone call from you, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. The television festival movement keeps on growing and growing and growing, and one of the parts of that movement that's become very special over the last 3 years is Series Fest. It takes place in the Rocky Mountains in the Denver, Colorado area. We've had the wonderful privilege of covering that festival the last 2 years, and for the very first time, rather than cover it before the fact, we are covering it during the fact. Today is day two out there in Denver, Colorado, and joining us live on the scene from there at an Interway exclusive, the Managing Director of Series Fest 2017, Brian Brooks, and its Business Development Director, Justin Klatsky. Brian, Justin, welcome aboard.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
It is a pleasure. Brian, we'll start with you. What's the action out there like today on day two?
Well, day two, people are crowding in after probably a bit of a late night last night, which was our opening night, of course, at Red Rocks with Ms. Lauryn Hill, sort of our headliner, but also like fantastic artist Common and En Vogue, which played against the backdrop of our world premiere of the latest CNN Decade Series of the 90s, in which we had a fantastic show of music artists, which was great, fit in very well in the setting of Red Rock, which was, of course, incredible. And I got to say, the one thing that was amazing last night was this was the first year in our 3 years that we haven't had rain. So that was a really nice little special moment for us.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yes, amen, absolutely, for sure, Justin. Justin, what does it look like in terms of crowds? What are people interested in this festival that, let's say, is different from the first two?
You know, we've actually expanded a little bit. Our festival was originally founded on a basic independent pilot competition of content that's never been seen before by creators, but we've taken it also into the short-form digital content. We've also expanded our international section and our panels. We brought back alumni from the last 2 years, which has been really great for them to showcase their work that they've been working on over the course of the last 2 years as the festival's been building since our third year. And we're of course, you know, loving that the community of Denver is continually opening up their arms to us as more locals are starting to take notice of the festival, which is great because we really are trying to get the local community involved.
And the one thing we started out with in year one was that we wanted to help build community among creators and people who come to our festival, and we are following through with that by doing what Justin mentioned, by having some of our alumni come back and do pretty other related projects. Some of them are continuing from the ones that they showed first year, and we have other initiatives that we're trying to build on that does engage series best creators, our families, past and present.
Mm-hmm. Brian, if you could speak a little closer to the phone, that would be great, because sometimes you're coming in and out with your words. So we're trying to figure out as much as you can. Maybe if you get a little closer to the phone, that might help. Justin, what is the level of participation among Denver series creators to the festival this year? Has it really stepped up, and what have you done to try to, you and Brian and everybody else involved, done to try to bring out more people from the Denver area, more creators from the Denver area, Rocky Mountain States, et cetera, to be part of this?
You know, it's funny. We have creators spanning the globe. We, of course, welcome the Denver locals, and we do have some Denver locals that are involved. More importantly, our new education initiative that we actually just kicked off with the Denver Film Society, working with high school kids to really dive into that world of creators who are younger, who are interested in this field, working with mentors that are coming from, let's say, the Los Angeles or New York area that are a little more prominent. So, you know, as for Denver, we're really keyed in on that and trying to just promote, as Brian was saying, that community, trying to engage people to let them know that this is not just for people who are already established, but people who are really looking to try to make their way and try to find a path for themselves in this industry.
Yeah, and the students last night were fantastic. They got to actually introduce Common on stage, and they were backstage doing interviews with people, and they're creating their own content, and, you know, we're definitely about nurturing
talent. Brian and Justin, as you're doing this festival, there is a lot of happening in the world of scripted television. You have Netflix, you have Amazon, you have Hulu and Crackle and Full Screen stepping it up, among others, CBS All Access, but you now have Apple getting in, you now have Facebook getting in, Vice Now is trying to expand its Vice Land with a scripted television unit. There seem to be more players out there trying to get involved. What kind of an impact are they having on the festival? Are you seeing people from Apple and Facebook and Vice, et cetera, coming aboard looking at these possible series?
Yeah, you know, from all of our meetings and the networks that we have involved, which is a very plentiful list, short form content is incredibly prominent right now. It's on the rise. And all of these networks are very interested in that medium because it gives them the opportunity to kind of test different arenas before pouring hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars into one project. So the beautiful part about that is they're getting to play with a larger variety of projects before they make their decision on, let's say, just one particular project. And, you know, I'm sure Brian can add to that as well.
I mean, the one thing with all these, you know, different platforms for showing episodic content, it is through that, actually, that even series best exists. I mean, we're sort of like the gap. We're sort of, all boats rising because it is such an exciting space. And, you know, as you said, it's just continuing to expand. And this is a great way to experience it. I mean, just like anyone, I come from a journalist background in film, and I am a big proponent of, you know, seeing things in the theatrical experience, and I think it's possible to provide that kind of experience, not only in film, but I will say now in television. And to have an audience in theater, but you're experiencing episodic, it is an extremely rewarding experience.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm going to piggyback off that, too. You know, it is a, going back to community, it's a beautiful thing to see these big networks sending their representatives to have the collaborative engagement with these independent creators in such a small space, because it's opening their eyes to seeing what's out there, seeing people and their content that might not have crossed their desk because of that red tape system. So to put everyone in a smaller environment where they can interact, have conversations, talk about creative endeavors, that's the beautiful part of what SiriusFest is bringing to light.
Mm-hmm. Brian, in the last year, we've seen the emergence of what you might call mini major independent studios. People want to be the next Lionsgate, like in terms of television, like IM Global, Sonar. You have people that are sort of on the verge too, like ITV Studios America, Fremantle Media, Entertainment One, et cetera, et cetera. They're sort of making the move now from mini major to big major independent TV player. And then in terms of the area of diversity, you have women of color, actresses like Kerry Washington, Viola Davis, Jennifer Lopez, America Ferrera, Gina Rodriguez, all forming production companies. You also have movements like We for She, directed by her, the Alice Institute, Women in Films Pride with the Blacklist, all trying to develop the next generation of film diverse, inclusive TV makers. What kind of representation are they having there at Series 7?
Well, this is definitely the perfect question, actually, for this year, because we have every year we have an interface on diversity, because that's just so important culturally, and that's just a given. This year in particular, I mean, we have panels, actually a two-part panel on diversity. Look up here, I want to give you all the details. We have a two-part. One is actually being sponsored by SAG-AFTRA, and they have a speech, nice, really great group of people coming in who are going to be talking about that very subject, and then we're doing the second part with NAMIC, and that is happening tomorrow. We have a women's panel that's focusing on why, actually, we have figured out, or at least, this is a point of contention. There are some people who believe that the episodic space has been more welcoming for women in behind the camera and the creative side, as opposed to the big screen. There are some people who argue against that, and that is going to be a real accessible focus for our panel on Saturday.
Yeah, and going back to what you were saying about these women or these groups that are diverse, which, as Brian was saying, is really important to us as a festival and as a community. I think there's a power in it. I think there's a beautiful power in these groups of people coming together to try to create their own content and try to lift their groups up by forming their own packs and by putting their content together and exploring their peers to make a project come to life. And the networks and the groups of people that are interested in doing that are getting bigger and are getting more bold with those decisions, because they know that those are going to be the future leaders of this business and the future creators, and are going to be pushing out content, because not only do they have the reach, but they have the resume already to prove it. So as far as diversity, women in this business, we're all for it. We want more of it, and I know we're going to see more of it on the rise as season four comes to forefront next year.
We are live from Series 7. Go ahead, Brian.
Oh, I was just going to say, just to piggyback on what Jesse just said, like, we're giving an award to Krista Smith for her work for women in the industry and so forth, and she is, of course, the West Coast editor and executive editor of Vanity Fair.
There we go. We are live from Denver, Colorado, where the second day of Series Fest is underway. Series Fest is the annual television festival involving the Rocky Mountains, and we, for the first time, are covering it in progress right here on Smarty Televised. Joining us this half hour, two of the key organizers, Managing Director Brian Brooks and Business Development Director Justin Klopke. They're both with us here this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. I have the family live from across the nation in New York, 75 degrees at the top of the hour. If a question or comment for Brian or Justin, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up next Monday on Tomorrow Will Be Televised, we kick off July with Al Berman, the executive producer of National Graphics' ambitious special, Earth Live. It's a two-hour special coming up, not this weekend, but next July weekend, hosted by Jane Lynch from Glee and Hollywood Game Night, and Phil Kogan from The Amazing Race. And it promises to be one of the most ambitious live specials in recent television history. Al Berman from Earth Live, next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Justin, let's bring people up to date on a couple of projects the SiriusXM announced last year that are coming to fruition this year. First of all, you put together a crowdfunding project called New Voices with Steven Spark, where for the first time they allowed television series creators to raise money through crowdfunding. What's the status of that project, and how is the project going?
The status of that project is the winner is going to be announced at the festival, and as the festival is progressing, Seed and Spark is going to be here determining that, and one person, as you said, is going to win $30,000 to produce their pilot.
And where will the pilot run?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Where will the pilot run? Is there a network commitment to run the pilot or a possible series from it?
As of right now, that is in the works. It's to be determined, but they most likely the pilot will get distribution and will be shown. But the commitment right now is to fund the pilot and to develop it and to go from there.
And has Steven Spark decided to do it a second year for next year?
Well, Seed and Spark has been working with us for, I believe this is our second year, so I'm hoping that they continue to enjoy working with us again, and will be with us for the fourth season of Sirius Fest. But that would be a better question for them. But they seem pretty excited to be here. They love what's going on at the festival, and you know, we're really lucky to have them as a partner.
We've talked to Steven Spark both on this program and on the show I do here in New York, BK Live, and I have to say they've really been, I think, surprised by not only the level and quality of the pilots that are using them to crowdfund, but also the subject matter, including, for example, a project that did not make the finals called The Kids, which was actually a series based on the actual experience of Los Angeles teenagers and children. And we'll see what happens. In fact, they even came out with a press release about the making of that pilot, and we'll see what happens. A lot of very interesting concepts came out of there. We'll see what goes on. Rose McGowan, the actress who was in Charmed on the CW for many years and now has her own production company, also last year announced a project called Producing Women, where she was going to select a pilot that her production company was going to do. Brian or Justin, what's the latest on that situation?
Well, definitely Rose, from what we've heard, is coming to town. Rose is, you know, an adventurous soul, so we'll see if she is going to be here. But the latest I've heard is that it has gone down to a few. I think that some of the women have gone down to a few, and, you know, obviously it'll be back and forth because, you know, it's not just the matter of producing a project. You know, it's just a bit of a relationship dynamic, and Rose and the final selectee will see how it works, and then we'll go from there. But it is definitely still in the works. It's kind of gone on a little bit longer than we probably originally anticipated. This is the first round of us doing this, and this actually came out of a conversation we had 2 years ago with Rose. We met her at a party, and we just kind of came up with the idea, and she goes, you know what? Let's try and do it. And we got an amazing selection of ideas and tricks. And you know, kind of gone through it. She's had, you know, a lot on her plate. And as we filtered through them, they're come down to a few, and we'll see how it turns out.
And if there's any other you know, women listening out there, which I'm sure there are plenty, keep writing, because Rose, we love Rose. I think Sirius Fest is going to continue to work with Rose. I read a very significant amount of the scripts that were submitted, and I was super impressed with the content that was submitted, the women that were creating out there, and what they're doing. And please, we continue to encourage everyone to keep that process going, the creative juices flowing, and get your stuff over to Sirius Fest next year.
Yeah. And incidentally, please let Rose know that we would love to have her on the program, as well as whatever script she picks to turn into a pilot or possible series. We'd love to feature both of them on the program, so let her know that invitation's out there. And speaking of scripts, there's another competition that's part of your event called the Storytellers Initiative, which really turned out to be very well received, a lot of scripts in play, and one of them is going to get a very special prize out of being at the festival.
That is true. Over the last couple of years, have partnered with different companies, but we're excited to announce our partnership with Elysium Bambini, who is going to be the production company behind the winner of the Storytellers Initiative. James Franco's company owns and works with Elysium Bambini, and they're going to be spearheading that project forward and really guiding it and making it, and we're super thrilled to see how that's going to turn out. And the Storyteller Storyteller Initiative will be going on this week, and the winner of that will be announced at the end of the festival.
Mm-hmm. Brian, are any of the pilots generating any advanced buzz? For example, one of the pilots that you're showing this week is a program called Shoot Me Nicely. It was done here in New York by an independent company called Zero Channel Television. It's already been seen at a festival in Europe. It stars Linda Hamilton. Many people know her as the co-star of Beauty and the Beast, the Terminator movies, and so on. Are there any pilots that you're presenting that have gotten this kind of advanced buzz, where they come out with a press release beforehand, or they, before they come to you, they go to another festival, or they find another way to sort of get the word out?
Right. Well, I mean, obviously the ones that have some recognizable names are going to get some advanced, you know, a bit of a buzz going. But I mean, obviously, we've worked tirelessly and long and hard over many, many months to pick. You know, this year we have a little over 2,000 in our independent pilot competition. So, of course, I'm going to go to bat for all of them. I mean, I know that's probably the easy answer for me to give, and probably what I'm supposed to say. But you know, they're chosen and they're chosen together in blocks as part of our overall canvas of our festival because of the breadth and the diversity and the interesting and creative ways of storytelling that we get. So, I mean, the one I will say that's kind of out of competition is when the streetlights go on. It's a pilot from director Brett Morgan, who has, you know, had a lot of, he's a veteran of the nonfiction space. It premiered at Sundance actually this year, and we were just so taken by it. It had a lot of money behind it, so that's the one reason why we didn't put it in competition, but it is just beautiful and it's compelling, and I'm really excited to see where he takes this, if, you know, if it goes. But it's just dependent. And that would be like, you know, one, I'm just going to say that because it's out of competition, so I'm being a little bit diplomatic here. But that's definitely one that I, you know, hope people will come and check out, because again, I think it was really great, one of my favorites. Do you have any particular ones that, you know, without throwing out our competition into whack?
You know, I wouldn't say favorites because, again, you know, Brian, myself, and Haley, Randy, Itai, and Leanne, we have our programming team. We feel very strongly about all of the pilots that have been entered into the festival. But for me, it's really trying to gauge people's interests on current trends of what's being programmed currently, what people are really gravitating towards, how the community and honestly the world is looking at programming, and trying to really develop a program with our team that is going to really cater to that particular feel, because we're in such a delicate time of content, we're in a delicate time of politics, we're a delicate time in the world, that we kind of have to have a balance of that light and that heavy. So when we're programming, you know, again, all of, as Brian said, all of these programs that are in the independent pilot competition, all our favorites, because we had hundreds and hundreds of submissions. We narrowed it down to, I think, what, 23, 24 pilots just for the independent pilot competition. So naturally, you know, these all of our favorites.
Just in the time we have left, where do you see, and the other organizers see, this TV festival movement going? We now have New York, we have Denver, we have ITVF. We also now have Sundance doing more with television. Tribeca, in fact, are showing the Ice Slicer, which is the 10-part unique anthology hour that was first shown at Tribeca a couple months ago. You have Split Screen Festival that kicked off this month at IFC Center, did very, very well. Where do you see this movement going, and what kind of a role do you see SiriusXM having? I know that last year you were involved with Norfolk, the Long Island TV festival opened last September. You were involved with Randy went to IPF with Rose McGowan when the Independent Film Project did a television side of their thing for the first time. Where do you see this all going?
Well, I actually personally see, you know, as I kind of alluded to before, that, you know, someone's success raises all boats, you know. I heard that Split Screen in New York went really well, and I know those guys at IFC Center, and they do a fantastic job year round, and that's a great thing for them. We are, as you mentioned, partnering, and we're going to be doing even more with the independent filmmaker project in New York IFP, which we'll be announcing coming soon. Can't really give out too many details yet. Um, that I see, you know, this is a celebration of the space of episodic storytelling, because, you know, clearly when the rise of independent film, you saw the rise of film festivals. I think we're seeing something similar. I hate to say that the two things are exactly parallel. I think that, you know, will be sort of fits and starts that will be particular to this space. But I see, you know, that the fact that we have grown so much in 3 years, I think is a testimony to the overall space. I mean, really.
And, you know, to add, we were approached by Cannes just a couple months ago, because Cannes is about to start their own version of what Sirius Fest is. And we were really flattered on how complimentary they were to us, how generous they were asking us for our opinions on where they should be going with what they're doing, and also even asking us to collaborate with them for their upcoming Cannes TV. Because, as you were saying, you know, you were asking us where it's going. We just think it's going to continue to grow. We think the space is going to continue to expand. Short form content is on the rise. People's attention spans are slowly dissipating, and that is allowing this content to continue to grow and these types of festivals continue to shine. So we're really optimistic on where that's going.
And, you know, we hope that, like other festivals that have been, you know, veteran in space, you know, obviously like a Sundance or Tribeca, South by Southwest, in the U.S., for example, you know, they are home to independent filmmakers, and they also, by them being there, create a burgeoning space for them. And I hope that we will continue to be that way. I think we are, and I want that to continue to expand. So here in Denver, to be a source of creativity and creative resource for people who live in Denver, but also internationally. And as Justin mentioned, you know, we are reaching out to partners in other countries, and we hope that we can integrate into a perfect campus, or as perfect as you can be.
Sirius Fest rolls on in various parts of Denver, Colorado through this weekend. By the way, shout out to the Cable Center out in Denver. They've also been involved for the first time this year in Sirius Fest, and they're doing a very good job with it. More details about the festival, all the pilots and storytelling issues, other things going on, here's where you go online, www.siriusfest.com. That's www.siriusfest.com. Once again, day two is happening now. Festival continues through this weekend. Brian Brooks, Justin Popke, thank you both very much for making the time during day to be with us. We really appreciate it. All the best to you, all the organizers, for a great Season 3. And again, we would love to have some of the pilot winners from the various competitions you have on our show this upcoming month. So the invitation's open. It's delightful to have you on.
Great. Thank you so much. And we would love to have that happen. Let's try and make that happen.
Yeah, thank you for having us. It was a pleasure, and look forward to being back soon.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great rest of your festival. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Brian Brooks, Justin Klosky from Sirius Fest, joining us live from Denver, Colorado. Remember, we're back with the 90th edition of our program to wrap up June this Friday, Creepy Meets in New Pacific, and then back again on Monday with Al Berman, the executive producer of Earth Live on National Geographic. That's next Monday at the very same time. Remember, check out our recent episodes at www.blogtalkradio.com/televised, the podcast on iTunes and Apple News iTunes podcast app, and we love hearing from you, because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. The Mommy Show Live was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Audible will transform the way you hear the world. But the Mommy Show Live, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Thank you to our guests. Have a great rest of your midweek. We're back Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio. Please be safe and be great out there, no matter what you're up to the rest of the day. And until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.